Hi, my name is Ben Witkowski, and welcome to the Universal Language of Music podcast. Today's episode is the audiobook version of episode 6, Is Music Really a Language? Episode 6, Is Music Really a Language? The analysis of the title of this series has walked us through history, understanding and learning how civilizations from all over the world have used music. It has shown us that every single person in the world has had their lives influenced or touched by music in some manner, be it trivial or compellingly eternal. It is by this undertaking that there can be no argument into one of the aspects of this series' title, the universality of music. Throughout history, music has been used in civilizations for several philosophical purposes. In the earliest civilizations, its primary use was to serve as a connection between gods and common people. Then, music started to be used for ceremony and as a means to interpret divinity and the correct values in which to live life. It was only in the last 1,000 years or so that music started to emerge in the form of topical and emotive interpretation. Every topic of life became a possible subject for a song. More instruments were developed, genres started to emerge, and soon enough, music had etched its way into significance across humanity. So as music's universality had developed into the form it is today, a new question begins to take shape when analysing the power of music and the saying that music is a universal language. Is music really a language? To answer this question, I had to turn to the experts, to all the musicologists, ethnomusicologists, linguistic analysts, and scientists alike, who have spent many years trying to solve the answer to this question. There are compelling results from countless studies that have been done, but perhaps the most imposing answer is that, at its very essence, we don't know. It's impossible to undertake the kind of research to get a conclusion of any sort of universality, due to the universality of music. One simply cannot experiment between two young minds, teaching one the communicative power of music but not language, and the other the communicative power of language but not music, and then see how effectively they are able to communicate for the rest of their lives. Similarly, it is difficult to properly analyze the linguistic effects of music on such a wide focus group as the entire global population. The inability to properly answer this question with a categorical yes or no is actually somewhat comforting and pure. It means that the appreciation of music can essentially be eternal. We can analyze and investigate and attempt to understand the majesty of song, but sometimes there really is nothing else to do but to switch off and enjoy the moment that music gives us. Indeed, the answers that have arisen from these studies and interpretations help explain music's universality across the world, citing the ability for the emotive interpretation of music to be a universal human trait. That in itself expresses a similarity with language, but also gives music a profound level of depth in its ability to transcend literal language groups, dialects, regions, and continents. Universality and diversity. In 2019, I came across a study undertaken by various authors at Harvard University titled Universality and Diversity in Human Song, where they undertook a comprehensive global study to determine just how universal music was. They interacted with 60 individual societies and cultural groups from every continent all over the world, obtaining their different emotive styles of music and sharing them with the other cultures in the study. They then analysed the songs and categorised them by song type. They analysed the songs by determining key elements of the song structure, mainly the formality, arousal levels, and religiosity associated with the makeup of the song. They deduced that there were 4 main categories of song type associated with the study, in the themes of dance, love, lullaby, and healing. When these songs were played across the 60 cultures, the results were incredibly consistent in how the type of song made the certain person feel within that culture. The songs were not presented to the individual or the culture categorizing the song type. Rather, the listener was asked to relate keywords as to what they thought the theme of the song was about. Across the 60 cultures listening to songs from all over the world, in multiple languages, and with multiple music theory and structural concepts involved, every society interpreted the song type within 95% of the global mean. That is to say, a dance song is interpreted as a dance song in Indigenous Australia the same way as it is in Northern Siberia. It was almost a categorical certainty that the theme of the song resonated with the listener, regardless of their musical experience, their own individual values and beliefs, and whether they understood the language the song was being sung in or not. This shows a power of music to almost collaborate languages from all across the world. It opens up the idea that music has a similar ability to language in the effect that it can allow for the interpretation of meaning and the conveyance of context. The study opens up a complex concept that language and music have inherently different ways of conveying meaning. With language, there are only so many ways to say a certain thing. For example, if someone wanted to express remorse to someone for something they have done, there are only so many words that can be used to express this thought. Of course, elements of poetic creativity can always be applied through metaphors and the like, and in this case, the listener or recipient should be able to understand the intention of the words and the overall tone and sentiment of the conversation. Music certainly opens up more opportunities to express such context. In the same example, music can use a high level of creative freedom in its lyrics, but can also add emotive cues through the song structure, the instruments used, the tones created, and things like tempo, rhythm, melody, and harmony. What's more, is that if a song was written in German that is themed around expressing remorse, there is overwhelming evidence through the Harvard study that a non-German speaker would be able to understand the overall tone and sentiment of the song. Language has a very pragmatic function, to convey meaning with semantic precision. It is built on a foundation of values deeply ingrained into society. Language and words need the constant understanding by everyone who speaks it to know what they mean. Take another example. If everyone started using the words yes and no in the opposite way, eventually the language would change the function and connotation of those words. Yes would mean no, and no would mean yes, eventually. As ridiculous as that example sounds, it is nonetheless a pragmatic function of values that drive the use of language. Music does not share this semantic precision. There are infinite ways to express meaning through song, and not everyone has to buy into the superseding values when creating music. There is an almost universally agreed notation structure around music in the form of a chromatic scale. A chromatic scale contains all 12 pitches, or notes, found in Western music. However, these notes can be used in infinite ways to express meaning. There is no value built into society that says three particular notes need to be used and played in a certain order, at a certain tempo, in a certain manner, to express grievance, or love, or doubt, or happiness. In that sense, music's ability to express a communicative idea is far greater than that of language. The Harvard study in 2019 reaffirmed music as a universal force in the world. Among its many conclusions were that music exists in every society, varies more within than between societies, and has acoustic features that are systematically related to the behaviors of singers and listeners. Music is not a fixed biological response within a single, prototypical adaptive function. However, it does appear to be tied to identifiable perceptual, cognitive, and affective faculties, including language, all societies put their language into songs, motor control, people in all societies dance, auditory analysis, all musical systems have some signatures of tonality, and aesthetics. Their melodies and rhythms are balanced between monotony and chaos. Ethnomusicology and semiotics. Music has the ability to transcend across cultures allowing people to understand and interpret songs and lyrics in completely foreign languages to their own. This means that there are more factors at play when it comes to interpreting music. The use of song structures, melodies, rhythm, tempo, and other musical themes play an integral part. But there is also another essential factor that allows music to be understood as a universality: the social and cultural context in which they are made. This is known as ethnomusicology. Ethnomusicology is the study of music from the cultural and social aspects of the people who make it. It encompasses distinct theoretical and methodical approaches that emphasize social, cultural, material, cognitive, biological, and other dimensions or contexts of musical behavior, in addition to the sound component. The introduction to the concept of ethnomusicology to the interpretation of music demonstrates a universality in the social structures of societies around the world. Cultural authenticity and differences are what makes the world such a wonderful place of exploration. However, underlying in all the cultural differences is a social unification of imagination, activity, and experience. Music can express human sense of imagination, activity, and experience in a relatable way for any language or cultural group to interpret. In this sense, ethnomusicology can reconcile the difference between music's universality and diversity. Music is universal, but it takes on different forms in different cultures. In a 1994 article entitled Music and Language, the concept of ethnomusicology was explored in greater detail. The article explains that there are widely divergent perspectives on the true relationship between music and language. Three of the main interpretations of the relationship between music and language are known as absolutist, referentialist, and expressionist views. The absolutist view is that music meaning is solely and directly related to an individual's cognitive processing of implicative patterns of musical form. This perspective is minimally concerned with ethnomusicology, the fundamentally social aspects of music meaning. Referentialist views hold that music symbolizes extra-musical, i.e. linguistically translatable, concepts, objects, or effects, implying the possibility of musical semantics. The expressionist view is that music communicates, whether syntactically or referentially, within the domain of human emotion, by contrast with language's capacity to communicate about conceptualization. Both the referentialist and expressionist views of music and language align with the study of ethnomusicology. There is an element to music that opens up the individual's conceptualization of imaginative and interpretive thought more so than language. The creative yet fictitious nature of the art of music can allow an individual to better relate with their own experiences more so than language. The use of language related to music can also enhance the music itself. People talk about music with each other. They discuss how it makes them feel, and they also relate words in the song to words and speech used in common discourse. The 1994 article states, quote, "The language about music perspective is predicated on the fact that people talk about music, and that music interacts with naturally occurring verbal discourse, not only in song texts, verbal art, and the prosodic musical structuring of speech, but also in the interpretive, theoretical, and evaluative discourses surrounding musical experiences." End quote. The musical experience as compared to linguistic knowledge and communication as a cognitive process of music meaning is known as psychomusicology. The other important concept around the understanding of music's power in comparison to language is semiotics. Semiotics is an investigation into how meaning is created and how meaning is communicated. Semiotics in music happen through the connotation of sounds, and through the social construction, appropriation, and amplification of certain meanings associated with these connotations. In 1983, a groundbreaking piece of work was undertaken by authors Fred Lidahl and Ray Jackendoff, entitled A Generative Theory of Tonal Music. In this work, six areas were identified as comparative matrices to analyze the social structuring of musical symbols across cultures. These are competence, form, performance, environment, theory, and social value. The idea of semiotics is that music can symbolize forms of linguistic and musical expression, forms of social organization, the social organization of musical production, and cultural ideologies of knowledge, value, and power through the aforementioned six areas. This symbolic element of music distinguishes it above language's ability to penetrate emotions and feelings. There are times when the listener to music feels a remarkably powerful relationship to a certain song. The song they are listening to resonates with a certain emotion or complements a certain feeling they are having at the time. It is so intertwined, interconnected, and relevant to their emotive presence that they feel the song almost has to have been written for them. This is a deliberate consequence of songwriting and music production. It is explained further in a 2010 article titled The Legacy of Lerdahl and Jagodnoff's A Generative of Tonal Music, Bridging a Significant Event in the History of Music Theory and Recent Developments in Cognitive Music, stating, quote, "Music's poetic dereferentializing of language heightens the symbolic efficacy of its affecting discourse, making it a sensitive gauge of both traditional and emergent forms of sociability and identity, and a key resource in both the construction and the critical inversion of social order." End quote. Semiotics in music can be created through various types of accents. There are three prominent accents. 1. Phenomenal accents caused by, example, changes in dynamics, long notes, harmonic changes, and melodic leaps. 2. Structural accents caused by melodic and harmonic points of gravity, especially in cadential contexts. And 3. Metrical accents, representing the relative importance of a given time point in the inferred structure. These accents create semiotics that connect the artist, the listener, and the body of work itself. These semiotics have metaphorical power too. In the earlier episodes of this series, there were multiple examples of music being used in early civilizations as the connections between religious deities and the common people. Semiotics and music can create aesthetics which formulate metaphorical, spiritual, and poetic intensification of topics, thoughts, emotions, and values, making it easier to connect with and relate to deities and religious figures and ideologies. Again, this is another example of the contrast between music and language. The ability for music to enhance spiritual and metaphorical imagery of religion is demonstrated in most religions today. A prayer sung in unison is seen as a way to connect with deities. This process is far more powerful than if words to be just read, not in unison, and not with underlying tones of semiotics that musical imagery can create. Conclusion. Music and language are essentially the same thing, sounds. All language consists of phonemes, and all musical systems consist of notes. Music resembles language in the sense that it is a temporal sequence of articulated sounds, which are more than just sounds. They say something, often something human. The better the music, the more forcefully they say it. If a newborn child was to be exposed only to music for the first 5 years of its life and was not subject to learning language, would it be able to communicate in the same way as if it were exposed to both? No. Language and music are inseparable in its essential nature for human existence. By this classification, music is not a language. However, through the cultural connection to music through ethnomusicology, and the ability for music to transcend beyond thoughts, topics, and emotions through semiotics, music can be considered as far more than a language. It is more of a universal connection than language. It is a more powerful imagery creation tool than language. It is an art form that speaks to everyone and is understood by everyone. Music is our universal language of nature and culture. It is our very essence of being.